Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience Podcast. I'm Mike Jeffers, and thanks for tuning in again. We are doing something a little bit different. You know, I always interview different artists, and I interview people coming into town, people coming up with releases. But this festival, we have been a part of Chicago Jazz Magazine as a proud advertising promotional arm here in the city of Chicago. It's the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Fest. It's coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Ottawa, Illinois. So I thought it would be great. We're going to interview some of the artists that are going to be performing. And we're also going to interview the executive director, Kurt Bedi. He is with me right now. Kurt, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Now, this festival, how many years has this festival been going on?
This will be the 9th annual Wine Fest for Ottawa.
And, you know, it's more than, so the Wine Fest, and it features Illinois wines, which I want to get all into, but let's set the whole thing up for everybody. It features wine from Illinois, some of the top vineyards in Illinois. It also features live jazz, which is what we're going to be talking a little bit about as well. And then it also features lobsters.
So yes, fresh Maine lobster that's flown in special just for this event.
So let's talk, because there's a lot that we can talk about here. So the first thing is, how did the fest get started 9 years ago?
Well, we were more or less discussing ideas of things that could happen in the city. We were looking to be involved in a little more events that could bring in tourism and people into the city, and Wine Fest was kind of common in the area with another festival in the fall time, so we thought maybe we could do one during the summertime in Ottawa. And so the people in power and the ability put their minds together and just kind of came together with this idea of an event, and it's been rolling along ever since, and it's been very popular.
Well, now you guys, I mean, it keeps growing. Every year I get the lineup and I see what's happening, and it keeps growing. Before we get into the jazz music, because you have quite a headliner, the Buddy Rich Band is coming in town with Kathy Rich, who's Buddy's daughter, and also Greg Potter, who's playing drums on that. But before we get into everything, let's talk a little bit about, so you've got wines from all throughout Illinois. How, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, vineyard-wise, that, I love the concept, because you're really featuring, this is something that I don't think a lot of people are able to experience or even knew how many vineyards are actually in Illinois. So talk a little bit about how that came about and some of the vineyards that are going to be participating this year.
Sure. Well, with part of our partnership with putting on the event, we work with the Illinois Grape Growers Association. And so they have a big lineup of wineries and vintners who are have establishments in the state of Illinois. And by going through them, we have the luxury of being able to bring wineries that people may not necessarily be familiar with or have the opportunity to go and see on a daily basis or a monthly basis or whatever to add to their collection or just to have a fun evening with family and friends. So this event brings all these wineries and vintners to one location, and it's a great opportunity to sample different types of wines throughout the state. You know, everybody has different types of soils and growing conditions, and so the wine and the tastings can vary. And so with bringing all these wineries and vintners to one location, you can select something that you may not have ever had before and can continually add to your collection.
Yeah, it's just looking through the list, it looks like you've got about 14 or 15 wineries and vineyards coming in, which I didn't even know there was that many in Illinois, actually. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And so they all set up. Now, are these tastings, or you can buy it by the glass, you buy it by the bottle? I mean, what kind of an atmosphere is it?
Well, it's a little bit of all the above. So certainly if you're going to participate in any of the tastings or buying of a bottle, you do have to buy a ticket to participate, and that gives you the opportunity to sample all the wine. And if you do end up finding a favorite that day, you can buy a bottle or you can buy a box of wines, whatever you find suits your taste, you can indulge.
Oh, that's great. And it makes it so easy, too. So you're hanging out, you're drinking some wine. Now there's lobsters. So tell us a little bit about that, because I'm assuming that this was something that somebody came up with and said, hey, if we're having wine, why don't we get lobsters? I mean, is that pretty much how it came about?
Yeah, a little bit. Actually, our local Rotary Club decided that this was a great opportunity to kind of bring their members together as a community activity, but also raise a little bit of funds for their group. And so the Rotary Club puts that on during the Wine Fest event. Mm-hmm. And they fly in these specially Maine lobsters that are live. Mm-hmm. And they bring them in and they start cooking them right there at the event site.
Oh, man. So I'm getting hungry looking at the website, but checking the whole thing out, it looks like $30 in advance, and advanced lobster sale tickets end June 3rd. So by the time this thing drops, you're going to have a good week to get your advanced tickets. And I would imagine that's key, because I can't imagine that there's a lot of extras. So if you come, it's kind of at your own peril if you want a lobster, if you show up there and you didn't buy an advance one, right? So the advance way is the best way to go?
That's right. That's what I tell people, is the only way you're going to guarantee having a lobster dinner during Wine Fest is to buy that ticket. And you could show up Saturday evening and find out we're all out of lobsters.
Yep.
So
yep.
We don't want you to be disappointed, and we want you to have a great time. So make sure you buy those tickets ahead of time. Plus, you're saving yourself some money.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, you're saving. It's $30 in advance, $35 at the door. And that's at Ottawa, the number 2 riverswinefest.com. All the information is there. Now, the other thing is if you don't like lobster, I'm looking at this, you also have Ottawa's Cheese Shop and Deli is going to be on site. So they've got prime rib sandwiches, pulled pork sandwiches, cheese, fruit cups, olives, everything, right? So it actually all works together with the wine and the whole atmosphere with the jazz.
Oh yeah, we have a great restaurant who participates and set up shop there, and they bring a nice selection that pairs well with wines. And especially if you don't like lobster, you have the option to have a prime rib sandwich or a pulled pork sandwich or whatever the case may be. So we do try to cater to other tastes that are out there besides those who like lobster.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk. Now we've got the food, we've got the wine. Now we're going to mix in the jazz here. So I know from watching the lineups over the past years, you've had a heavy focus of Chicago jazz, which is great. I think even one year you did like the women of Chicago jazz and mm-hmm. different jazz groups. This year, I think this is one of the first years, and maybe I missed one early on, that you actually had, this is a national touring group is actually coming in. So I'll run down the lineup a little bit. So Friday night, the headliner is the Buddy Rich Band, led by Kathy Rich and Greg Potter. Saturday night is, of course, Chicago's very own D. Alexander. And then Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., the headliner is Abigail Rickards. But let's talk a little bit about Friday's lineup. That's pretty exciting. You're having the Buddy Rich Big Band come in. This is one of the first national headliners that you've had, isn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely. With the type of following that they have, this is probably going to be a milestone for us to have them play at the Wine Fest.
Mm-hmm. And so that's on Friday. But then leading into it is Sarah Marie Young, and she is dynamite. I know a lot of our listeners know Sarah Marie because she performs all around town. She's in the Oh Yeahs, but then she's also performing her own solo stuff, really getting a national name out of Chicago here. So that's a great. Great grab. And then on Saturday, you've got D. Alexander closing out the night. You've got Ethan Keller's group leading into that. And then Hans Lurch's group is opening up the day at 3 p.m. So, D. Alexander, has D. been out to the fest before?
D. has been at the festival before, and she's been very popular. And so she's been invited back to perform, and people love her. You know, she puts on a really good show. You know, it's hard to beat having someone like her headlining event.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, you know, and I know many of our listeners know Dee, but if you don't know Dee, you know, Dee is one of those artists that, you know, she can sing pop, jazz, rock, everything, but she's got her own sound, and that band is always on fire. So that's going to be on Saturday night at 8 p.m. And then you've got the duet book, which actually is Clark Summers and Chris Madsen, who we're going to be talking to shortly on the podcast here. They're going to be out Sunday at noon. I know that they've been doing a lot of social media video work, and they just came out with some new recordings and things, so that's pretty exciting. And then you've got Abigail Rickards is going to be there at 3 p.m. She's actually from New York, transplanted to Chicago, and she's done a lot of great stuff, great recordings, and she plays all over town. So the fact that she's coming out to Ottawa, that's a great way to end out the evening.
Yeah, it's a solid lineup throughout the whole festival event, and we're really excited and looking forward to having all these performers be a part of the Wine Fest. We know that the crowd who will be attending will absolutely not be disappointed with the music and the different headliners that we have available.
You know, and I should let everybody know, like, so for those of you that are like, oh, Ottawa, that seems like a really far drive. It's actually only an hour and a half from dead downtown Chicago. So if you're in the suburbs, it's closer, number one. Number two, Kurt, why don't we talk a little bit? I'm sure there's hotels out there, too. So if somebody wants to make a weekend out of it, I mean, is there a website? Should they go to OttawaTwoRiversWineFest.com? Is there a lodging information on there? Or is there another website we should steer them to? Or should they just do some Google search? Searches for Ottawa, because I believe the downtown area doesn't exactly close at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. There's probably some good spots to hit after the fest, too, so they might want to stay out there for the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You bring up a very good point. We do have a very active downtown. There's several restaurants, several stores, coffee shops, brewery, all that kind of stuff. So there is a lot of activity outside of the event site. So if you're looking for a little bit more, or you want to get away for a little bit and come back, you're more than welcome to, because you're right in the downtown area and everything is very accessible. But I will recommend that if anybody is interested in coming to Ottawa to stay overnight, that you do get a hotel room right away, because they are booking up. This is a very popular event, especially with Chicagoans and people who live in the west suburbs. Mm-hmm. Like to come out. We've actually seen several people from other states before, too. So those hotel rooms do get booked up pretty quickly. So you can visit our website, the Visitor Center, the City of Ottawa's website, at pickusottawail.com. And we have accommodation listings on there, too. They're set up differently, so we have your regular chain hotels, some that are pet-friendly, and some that are a little more unique.
Oh, that's perfect. So, I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, even if you're going out on a Friday and you're going to hang and just Friday night and come back, I mean, one night, two nights, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm sure the weather's going to be perfect. I can't guarantee that, but it's going to be perfect. We're just going to say it's going to be perfect.
Well, we have a real good time regardless of the weather, and it's always a lot of fun. And, again, where do you see a lineup with the music and can have fresh lobster and taste several different wines from across the state? It's all great, and we look forward to having everybody. Again, you know, book your hotel rooms early, and a nice little side note, the Visitor Center, which I operate with my staff, we run a shuttle bus, three shuttle bus from the hotel to the event site all throughout the event hours. So if you don't have to worry about parking, you don't have to worry about driving into downtown and getting lost, you can just park at the hotel and check in, and we'll come and pick you up.
Oh, man, you're making it really easy. And that's the best way to go, and that's the way a festival like this grows, too, is by making it so friendly for people coming out to the fest that, you know, they don't want to leave. I mean, it's perfect. They stay for the whole weekend and hear some great music, drink some great wine, and enjoy some lobsters. Well, Kurt, I really appreciate you jumping on the podcast today. Again, it's Kurt Bedi. He is the executive director of the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Fest. All the information is ottawatworiverswinefest.com. And here's to a successful weekend, Kurt. I appreciate you jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me, and we look forward to anybody and everybody coming and enjoying this festival. Again, you can visit pickusottawail.com for more information about accommodations, or you can give us a call at 815-434-2737, and we'd be more than happy to help you out.
That's great. That's perfect. We'll link it up, too, in some of our descriptions. And now we're going to talk to some of the different artists that are going to be on the fest. So stick around here on the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience. All right, everybody. So you heard from the executive director of the Ottawa Wine and Jazz Festival here, but we're going to start featuring some of the artists here, and I'm really excited because Chris Madsen is going to be performing at noon on June 9th, and it's called The Duet Book. Now, Chris is a very accomplished saxophonist. We could talk for an hour and a half about everything Chris has done. We'll talk a little bit about his background so we can set it up, but Chris, I'm glad you could join me today. We're previewing the fest that's coming up in Ottawa, and you guys are doing a little bit different thing. It's called The Duet Book, so why don't we talk a little bit about that and what people can expect to hear. So it's called The Duet Book. Now, I know that's a release that you and Clark Summers put out. Why don't you talk a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Well, first of all, thanks for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here and talk with you about this. And yeah, so a little bit about The Duet Book. It's a YouTube-based online social media series that Clark and I have curated over the past, better part of a year at this point. And it's basically just Clark and I getting back to our roots of, you know, playing without a drummer, playing basically bebop standard tunes with a few exceptions here and there. But we have, I believe, somewhere around 10 or 11 videos. And the videos are, you know, 3.5-4 minutes long.
Yeah, well, and they're, by the way, they're really well produced, too. I mean, they look nice, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, actually, I was just talking with Clark about the next volume in the Duet Book that's going to be coming out in a few months, actually, and the videography there. I actually took care of the videography myself for the second volume of it, and we were talking about, you know, was it decent or not? So that's good to hear. It's good to hear that it reads well,
yeah.
You know, from another person's perspective. So that's good to know. But yeah, so it's basically, you know, it's basically us kind of wanting to get. We do lots of original music, you know, our own and other people's, but Clark and I both have a long history of playing, you know, standard repertoire and doing a lot of it without drums. And it sort of creates a new paradigm and a dynamic between the two of you when there's no drummer. You know, as a horn player, I really have to play more rhythmically, and Clark is responsible for, you know, every aspect of the beat. And it's a nice, fun challenge. And the repertoire lends itself so well because those bebop melodies are so rhythmic, and they're so percussive in a way that you know, for us to sort of tackle those, and it's especially difficult for Clark as a bassist because, you know, most of those bebop melodies were not written with an upright bass player in mind. They were written for saxophone, basically, or piano, and so when you get a cumbersome instrument like the bass in there, and so it's really a workout for him, and yeah, it's something that we had been talking about doing for a couple of years, and eventually we finally got around to doing it, and yeah, we're happy with it. And yeah, you can find it on YouTube. You can find, if you kind of go back on Instagram and Facebook and each of our profiles, you can find them. And
it's,
they're
also
just kind
up
of
on
little...
your website too, isn't it? Is it up on your website somewhere?
You know, I think it's up there on my website. I got to be better about updating my website. I've kind of, ever since the social media bandwagon really took off, I've been a little bit lackadaisical on the website update, but you know what? I'm going to have to get in there and get them up there too, because they're you know, we put so much work into them and time and everything that we want. We want as many people to see these things as possible.
Well, and that's kind of cool, because what I think is cool is that you're doing it online, and now you're doing it at the festival on June 9th at noon. So you're going to be live and in person, because I don't think, have you played any, have you played this stuff live in front of people, or has it always just been kind of recorded stuff that you're putting out there? Obviously you're playing all over the place with a lot of stuff, but have you guys specifically done the duet book live?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because last month at the California Clipper, we did have a show that was billed as the duet book plus two, because the Clipper is a great venue, but you really need to have a little bit more volume playing in there. And so we had drummer Quinn Kirchner, and then we had vocalist Morgan Pirtle, who was a former student of mine from UIC, join us. So it was actually a quartet. As far as the duet, and then in the middle of some other gigs, we've sort of broken down and we've done some duet things. Let's say I have a quartet gig and I'll let the piano player and the drummer kind of take a break, and then Clark and I will do something. But this is really the first proper public performance of the project itself. So we're really excited about it, because the last time I was down there at the festival in Ottawa was, I want to say, 2016. I was playing with Alyssa Allgood in her band. I always thought, well, this is a really interesting, different kind of a production. And I've been trying to get back there ever since. And I thought this would be a great project to bring down there. It's kind of more of an intimate, wine friendly, kind of jazzy environment. So,
yeah, the thing with the Ottawa Festival, I've never been out there, but from talking to the people at the Ottawa Festival for so many years, and then hearing report back from all the different musicians and everything, it can go both ways. Especially that noontime slot seems to be the perfect time for this type of a group, because you guys are going to be performing as a duo. People are going to be mingling around. The wine's going to be happening. And the people that really want to listen are going to be able to really listen, because in that setting, I think it's pretty conducive to this kind of a setup at that time of day, I think.
That's what I was thinking. It is outdoor. Fingers crossed that it doesn't rain or anything, but it is outdoor. And, having a smaller project like this is not unprecedented, but it's a little bit of a risk. And I thought it did seem sort of well suited for the noontime thing, before everything kind of kicks into high gear for the evening shows. So I'm sure we'll be adequately, amplified and all that stuff. But I'm really excited about it to bring our little project down there.
Oh, for sure. So let's talk a little bit. Let's give some of our listeners who might not be completely familiar with you a little bit of background on you. I mean, obviously you're playing all around Chicago, but you came up, was it Northwestern that you went to for jazz studies?
No, I actually taught at Northwestern.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For 6 years.
Under Victor Goines.
Yeah, exactly. I taught with him at Northwestern from 2008 to 2014. But going further back, I'm from the suburbs. I'm from the Chicago suburbs. And, I always just had a predilection for jazz saxophone. It was just something I got introduced to at a young age. And I followed through. I went to my undergrad work is from DePaul. So I stayed local. And then I went to Juilliard for my graduate work. And so I lived in New York for 3 years. And then in 2006, I moved back here. And in 2008, I started teaching at Northwestern in the jazz program. And then in 2014, I switched over to UIC, where I currently am. And right now I'm adjunct at UIC and also at UW Parkside up in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, cool.
I'm kind of burning both ends of the candle, so to speak.
Well, and for those of everybody listening, I mean, Chris, obviously you play in a lot of different situations, all over the spectrum, because you're so accomplished as a saxophonist. But you mentioned a little bit about the duet book. I mean, you also write your own compositions. I know that you do a lot of arranging. You play in a lot of different groups and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of different opportunities for people to see Chris playing a lot of different settings. And I think that's just one of those things as a saxophonist, as a musician these days. I mean, how do you feel? I mean, you probably just have to be ready for anything, because these days anything can happen as far as any sort of gig, any sort of experience can happen. So really, you're one of those really well-rounded musicians that can play in any setting and still sound like yourself.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, that's kind of been my goal for, ever since I started my professional life. I mean, that was always kind of ingrained in me at a young age, especially during my undergrad years. You have to, it's a, it can be a tough world out there for a professional musician, and you have to sort of be, you have to be versatile, and you have to be able to sort of pull from a variety of influences. And I really kind of took that idea and ran with it. And I did a lot of listening to, you know, jazz masters, and I still do to this day. I think most jazz musicians really appreciate all different eras of the music, going all the way back to the beginning. And I always made it kind of a priority to familiarize myself with the different styles within the music, and not only within jazz, but also outside of jazz. You know, I really like, how do you play saxophone in a rock band or in an R&B band or something like that. And I think, yeah, it does seem more and more that as time goes by, I think those disparate influences are really important for most musicians. I mean, I think nowadays to find a young jazz musician who only listens to jazz music is pretty rare. I think most people are very, very well versed in all different types of music, and not even to mention the electronic music stuff that's happening now, where you can do it yourself, which I haven't really gotten into, but I know lots of young people are. So, but yeah, man, I still love playing sort of traditional jazz. I love playing cutting edge modern stuff, and just like you said, man, it's a great point. You know, when I play, I want it, no matter what the style is, I want it to be my voice that really emerges as the obvious thing. I want it to be able to someone to know that it's me, no matter what the context is. And that's just kind of something I've worked towards for many, many years.
Well, and that's what I think is going to be cool, to bring it all the way back around to the Ottawa Festival is the duet book. I mean, it's you and a bass player, Clark Summers. I mean, that's as raw as you can get, because you don't even have piano there laying harmonies down behind you. So, I mean, that is something that is completely, really simple, completely different. It really leaves you, not to you know, scare you, but it leaves you hanging out there in front of everybody.
Sure, yeah, of course.
But no, I mean, that's the purest sound right there, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways it is. I mean, like I said, not only are we responsible for the rhythm, much more than when you have a drummer present, it really makes you responsible for a lot more rhythmically. But of course, yeah, harmonically, without the piano or the guitar, a lot of times, you know, Clark is he's very supportive of me trying stuff while he's playing, whether I'm playing sort of guide tone lines, and once in a while I'll try to get a bass line in there underneath him if he's in the upper register. But it's really, you know, it's the kind of project where your ears have to be so wide open all the time and just really, really attuned to what the other person is doing. And the most challenging thing really is we do some stuff in odd time signatures, and that can be, wow. I mean, when we first started doing that stuff, I was just falling all over the place. And luckily we've been able to sort of hone more of that, but you know, playing without a drummer in seven, boy, that'll really test you. But we do it, and it really kind of focuses you to have to trust the other person a great deal, trust their musicality, and trust the fact that they're in it with you. And it's a great exercise. I love doing it.
Well, that's the only way that works too, especially in this kind of a setting. You have to really trust the other person and really enjoy playing with them and really dig what they're playing off of you with.
No doubt. Yeah.
So that everybody can hear this now that you explained it a little bit, I think it's pretty interesting. So the people that are going to go to the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Fest, which is happening June 7th, 8th and 9th in downtown Ottawa. Mm-hmm. All the information is at OttawaTwoRiversWineFest.com. And, of course, the duet book, which is Chris Madsen and Clark Summers, are going to be playing there at noon on Sunday. And after talking to Kurt, the executive director, he's hoping a lot of people will come out there on Friday, get a hotel room, and stay until Sunday night. So I'm sure you're going to have a great crowd on Sunday. And just so everyone knows, why don't you give out your website and any social media links? Everybody can go check things out ahead of time or find out where else you are playing. Because I know you got a lot of stuff coming up this summer and in the fall, and you and I are going to do some other interview things as we lead into that. But where can people find you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, just for the most up-to-date stuff, I would check on Facebook or Instagram. My Facebook handle is Chris Madsen Music. So if you go to facebook.com/Chris Madsen Music, I'm there. And then on Instagram, I have this handle called Saxon Mother's Son, SaxonMotherSson. It's a line from a Beatles song. It's kind of an obscure reference. But I post everything up there. And then my website, chrismadsen.net, that's pretty easy to figure out. But yeah, most of the stuff will be there. We've got some cool stuff coming up. I have a 3 times a year thing, standing thing that I do with Alyssa Allgood at Winters.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming up in the middle of July, and so I'll be posting all about that. And it's actually July 19th and 20th, a Friday and Saturday night. And those have been really well received, and plenty of other stuff on the horizon too that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is cool. This is kicking it off, kicking off the whole summer season here. So June 9th, noon, the duet book. And Chris, I really appreciate you joining me here on the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience podcast. And as we discussed before, we'll catch up. So all of our listeners, you're going to hear some more of Chris, and we're going to talk all about some of his other projects. But be sure to go check him out Sunday at noon, June 9th at the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Fest. Hey, Chris, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike. Great to talk to you.
Great talking to you. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience podcast. We're focusing on the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Fest, which is coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th. And of course, Ottawa, Illinois. And we just talked to the executive director, Kurt Bedi. We featured one of the artists, Chris Madsen. And now we're going to hit the headliner here on Sunday, who's actually performing after Chris Madsen at 3 p.m. Abigail Rickards, wonderful vocalist from New York, who actually moved to Chicago some time ago. So, Abigail, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're already into the summer festival season.
I know.
It seems very bizarre with the weather being 60 degrees, but I can guarantee that the weather's going to be fantastic on June 9th.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you a Farmer's Almanac guy?
I'm even better than that. I'm the Jazz Magazine guy, so it's even better. It's even less accurate, actually. So,
well, all right, now I know you make the weather. So.
Yeah, that's frightening, actually. All right, so let's talk a little bit. Now, you're going to be performing Sunday, June 9th at the Ottawa Two Rivers Wine Festival, and this is the 9th annual, and they're going to be featuring a lot of local Chicago jazz artists, and I thought it was just great when I saw that you're headlining, closing out that set. I mean, you're somebody that plays all around town. You've been doing that for quite a while on a regular basis. Headline at the Green Mill, headline at Jazz Showcase and everywhere else, but I don't think you've ever been out to Ottawa, have you?
Actually, this is my third time doing the Ottawa Festival. Yeah, I was not there last year, but the 2 years prior, I did a set in the middle. I wasn't a headliner, and they didn't ask me last year. They just had other people to put on the docket, and then I guess a lot of people wondered why I wasn't there last year. They called me again. And they're booking guys, and I'm going to be in trouble if I don't get you on this year.
Well, so that's awesome. So you've been out there before, and I mean, the scene out there is really incredible. And I mean, headlining on Sunday at 3 p.m. Now, are you going to be there with your quartet, or who's in the band?
Actually, it's funny. We keep adding people because it's sort of a fun day. When I had done it before, I had just done it as a trio with a drummer and a bass player. And then I think the second year I added a guitarist. And then this year it's me, a guitarist, a bass player, a drummer. And then we added a pianist because we were all playing at the Green Mill and talking about the gig. And it turns out it's the pianist's birthday. So like, let's just have a party. Let's bring the whole band out.
Oh, man. All right. Do you know who's in the band then?
Oh, yeah. It's Tom Beitzis on piano. So it's his birthday that day. He'll kill me for telling you that.
And tell us how old he is. Come on. Tell everybody. He's 28. Tom's 28.
It's a big birthday. It's Tom's 21st. He'll be illegal. And Tim Fitzgerald on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Jacoby on the bass and Ryan Jacoby on the drums.
Oh, nice. That's a great group. And of course, you play a lot with Tim and Tom.
I do.
And
I actually play a lot with all four of them. They've become I sort of alternate drummers, but they've become my staple band. So at least once a week for most of them.
Oh, that's dynamite. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background, too, because how long have you been in Chicago? Has it been about 6 years?
Believe it or not,
years?
Mike, I'm coming up on 8 years, officially be the longest I've ever lived anywhere.
Wow.
Does that make me a truly Chicagoan?
Well, By my standards, sure.
Okay, good. So as long as you accept me.
That's right. That's all that matters, I suppose. But, you know, so you moved to Chicago, but you came from New York. Now, you grew up in New York, right?
I lived in New York for quite a long time, but yeah. I actually moved around a lot growing up. And I was born in Boston. I moved around a lot, ended up back in Massachusetts for high school and college, then went out to New York for about 8 years as well.
Mm-hmm. And when you moved to New York, I mean, that your full-time deal was you were a musician in New York, right? I mean, you were playing all the clubs and meeting
everybody.
Yeah,
I was playing all the clubs. I mean, in New York, it's very hard not to have a day job to accompany it. So I was doing some Mommy and Me music classes for families. But I was still a musician doing all the music.
So tell us some of the spots in New York that you headlined at, because I know some of them, but I'm going to leave some out. So in order for me not to sound stupid, I'm just going to let you tell us. How's that sound?
Well, I still go back now and then when I can. And Birdland is a favorite. Obviously, mm-hmm. I played there several times. I was lucky enough to play at Smalls a lot, at the Kitano, at 55 Bar. I was usually there about once a month. So I did. I had some really nice gigs while I was there. I was very, very proud of them.
So then you ended up moving to Chicago with your husband, I think, right? Is that why you ended up moving to Chicago? And he's a doctor, a professor at Roosevelt University, I believe.
He is.
And you are playing like 5, 6, 7 nights a week sometimes, so people can catch
trying.
You.
Yep.
Yeah, so people can catch you. If you're living in Chicago, people can catch you by checking out abigailrickards.com. I'm assuming that you keep all that up to date on your calendar.
Definitely.
What's the difference between Chicago and New York when you first came into Chicago? I mean, as far as the scene, as far as the vibe, as far as all of that goes.
I think there are amazing musicians in both cities. Chicago is definitely more blues based. You just mentioned you were working on the Blues Fest. And so there's definitely a lot more blues here. And there were a lot more opportunities for me here. When I moved here, I started playing a lot more piano. And there's not a big piano bar scene or solo piano singer scene in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is here. There's a lot more work for me in that sense. So I think that was a big difference. It definitely, I'd always played some piano. It definitely encouraged me to, you know, get on the stick and make sure I could accompany myself even more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so outside of the Ottawa Two Rivers Jazz Fest, Wine Fest, I should say, Jazz Fest, Wine Fest, what else do you have coming up in Chicago that people might be able to check you out at if they can't make it to Ottawa on June 9th?
Sure. Yeah, I'm at Winter's Jazz Club on July 3rd, which is a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can always catch me with Trio downtown at Eddie V's on Grand and Rush.
That's a great spot, too. That's a great
spot. I've been doing a lot of Green Mill lately, too.
Hmm, that's good.
I think so far this year I've been there 5 or 6 times, which is a lot if you're not a steady booking. If you're not a weekly player there, you know, to get in at all is great, but especially to get in that often is wonderful. So Dave Gemmelow has been super cool. He's been really kind to me to give me that boost.
We love that
club.
Yeah. And Dave's the best. So just to preview, what can people expect to hear? Are you doing a lot of standards out there at the Ottawa
We're doing
Two
a mix.
Rivers?
Yeah, we're doing some standards. We're doing some blues tunes. We're doing some pop tunes that we've sort of crossed over into jazz arrangements and all that stuff. We've been working on a record that I'm really hoping will be out in the fall. I got to finish mixing it and stuff. And again, I have to get on the stick and finish it. So, so we're going to do a lot of those tunes. And we love going out there. I mean, you know, the first time I went there, I had my 4-year-old now was 1, and everybody was dancing with him. He was having a great time. And I think I was very pregnant. And it was like 187 degrees out. And then the second time it was, you know, I think I went on my own because I had a small baby. But it's funny because they all asked, where's your little boy who we were dancing with? So this year they'll be visiting grandparents. So people are going to ask me again. But it's a very family friendly environment. They welcome us like family. And every time I go, it's funny. I run into a friend from high school who teaches at Streeter.
Oh, really?
Which is a town over. And so, I mean, I went to high school in Massachusetts. So it's so funny that I get to catch up with this girl every time I end up at Ottawa.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Ottawa, so, Illinois. Who would have thought that, right?
I know. And she and I, so I, as soon as I found out I was playing, I sent her a message. I said, hey, I'm going to be in Ottawa again this year, just so you know. Because it's, you know, it's a little bit of a hike. It's a little over 2 hours from the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not often that I make it out there, even though I really like it out there.
No, yeah, it's absolutely. And that's what Kurt and I were talking about, the executive director, that really without traffic, it's like 1.5 hours straight out from Chicago.
For sure.
Of course, you're going to hit some traffic. And then, of course, we were encouraging everybody on his segment, and I'm sure you would do the same, is that, you know, if you've got the time, go out there, stay at a hotel, hang out for the entire weekend and check the whole thing out.
Or go hiking.
There's so much great stuff out there. I mean, it's
my band, they love to go to Starved Rock and go hiking and everything. I haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a ton of stuff to do out there. Just to take a little beat from the city and, you know, get a much more relaxed weekend. It's a beautiful, and, you know, go for the whole weekend. There's so many good bands playing. I saw the lineup, and you said you just talked to Chris Madsen, who's fantastic. So.
Yeah. No, that's it. And Sunday's going to be a great day because it's the duet book, which is Chris Madsen and Clark Summer, and then you closing out the day. So
with my giant group of birthday
band. It's going to be from two people to like 10 people.
On the road. Pick them up. Let's have them play with us.
You're going to have people waiting in the wings waiting for you. All right, so let's give everybody the website here. It's Ottawa2RiversWineFest.com. And, of course, Abigail's headlining June 9th. But there's great music happening June 7th, 8th, and 9th, including the headliners on Friday night. It's the Buddy Rich Big Band with Kathy Rich and Greg Potter. And then Saturday is D. Alexander. And then Sunday's Abigail. So you can't beat any of that stuff. That's a great weekend. And, of course, all the information on Abigail is AbigailRickards.com. And when you get close to releasing that new album, obviously hit me up.
Oh, I'll call you first.
We'll do a full show, and I'll even have you come down and do a video, and we'll knock the whole thing out. It'll be great.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely.
All right, well, thanks for...
Kay, can we have a hot dogs with ketchup when I come?
Of course. No. Not with
Come
ketchup,
on,
but you tried
Mike.
To slide that in. Tried to slide that
I did.
In.
I did. Oh, I almost got it, too.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, go to ChicagoJazz.com, and you can see the full video from last year when Abigail tried to manhandle a hot dog Chicago-style with ketchup.
Sneak some ketchup in there.
Well, she's from New York. I'm surprised she didn't put sauerkraut on there, too. So,
Hey. Don't knock it.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, Abigail. And, of course, everybody get all the information at Ottawa2RiversWineFest.com. And until next time, hopefully I will see you somewhere out on the scene.